My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Welcome to Dark Mode, the podcast that brings you sage advice from two technology experts. And that's not just what we call ourselves, it's what our moms tell people when the guest Wi-Fi network doesn't have a password. I'm your host, Luke Miani.
And I'm your host, Noah Rubin. On this show, we take questions from listeners, attempt to answer them to varying degrees of success, and maybe even have a laugh or two along the way.
So I think what we wanted to do to start this out, and actually this is very good timing here because someone just asked about the experience of being a dev, and they're interested in what sort of development stuff you do, Noah. Now they talked about in context of your job at Google, which I think you've mentioned a few times. However, you do a lot more than just work for Google. So I believe you had an update on the App Store experience that you had that we talked about a couple of, I guess it was like 2 months ago at this point.
Yeah, I guess so. I did have a little update. So I guess I'll try and answer the question a little bit. Obviously, I can't get into too much detail about the day-to-day work that I do at Google. It's app development related stuff. So like I have experience in, you know, like web related stuff, front and back end app stuff, you know, a bunch of different things. I do web development. It's for an internal product that's used by a lot of people at Google, and it helps run a core part of their business. Maybe I could say a little bit more, but just to be safe here, that's what I'm going to leave it at. But I do a lot of personal projects, and
we might have
let's
a little
just make sure.
Okay, we're good.
Okay, I think we're good now.
I just wanted to switch over to Wi-Fi. If people that are listening on audio are like, what
is happening? We switched from Wi-Fi to Ethernet, and I think it might have froze for a second there.
But I think we're back up.
I believe we are back up. Yeah, I think people are saying that we're back.
Someone said, I guess maybe he couldn't say anymore. Like, as soon as you said what you did, our stream just happened to go down. How about that?
Yeah, what a coincidence. All right. So I think it looks like we're back. Good.
New and improved Ethernet edition of Dark Mode.
Yes, hopefully.
Hopefully without freezing.
Okay. My mom just texted to say that we're good. So,
fantastic. So your mom's always here looking out for us
in
chat.
Yes, indeed. So anyways, to go to the little update. So I've been working on this app. I guess it's been a little over a year now. It's a client for Last.fm, which is a music tracking website. You can track all the music that you listen to, and then you can see lots of statistics. So I can know like exactly every single time I listen to a given song or artist or album or something. I just like having a lot of data like that. So it's a cool service to have. And then so recently I released an update that would let you generate collages. So you could create a collage for like your top artists or your top albums. You could say like, you know, top albums of all time, and it would generate like a nice little collage grid of, you know, pictures of the album artwork. So it'd just be like a nice little thing, and because people like to do that and they like to share them online. So I added that feature to the app. And then the other thing that I did was I wrote a script that would automatically capture screenshots of the app, because when I post the screenshots, or when you upload the app, I have to do 4 different devices on iOS. I have to do the 12 Pro Max, the 8 Plus, the second gen iPad Pro 12.9 inch, and the fourth gen iPad Pro 12.9 inch. So I have to do 4 devices, and then for Android, I have to do 3 devices. So I have to do 7 total devices, and I have to do like 8 screenshots for each device, and it's kind of annoying to have to fire up the app and go through all that process. So I wrote a script. It ended up taking a really long time, but it automatically screenshots all the different pieces of the app that I wanted it to screenshot. And so those were the 2 big things. Obviously, the screenshot thing is just for me, but I you know, created the update with the collages, and I sent it off to Apple and Google. And Google, I've never had an issue with. They, you know, approved it, and it was just waiting for me to publish it. But then Apple rejected it. And the reason why they rejected it is because my screenshots had album artwork in the screenshots. You know, it's a music streaming app, or it's a music service app, right? So there were album artwork in the screenshots, and it was rejected for like an intellectual property kind of thing. Like, the fact that I had screenshots with album artwork in them was like, I was like infringing some rights or whatever. So they rejected it, and they said I either had to submit proof that I had the legal right to those images, or I had to remove those images from the app. So that was the thing that happened. The main thing that annoyed me was that I had screenshots with album artwork since the very beginning. So I published this app back in December, and every single version, there have been like 19 versions of the app, every single version has had album artwork in the screenshots. And then they decide today, or not today, but they decide earlier this weekend, that they were going to draw the line then and say that I wasn't allowed to have album artwork screenshots. So whatever. I updated my script to blur the images. So I'll show this to the people that are watching. I don't think you can see it, but it blurs the images, and it says the image hidden due to copyright.
That's so stupid.
So I had to write some extra code in my app to do that. And luckily I had that screenshot script, because if I didn't have it, I would have had to go back and take, you know, 100 screenshots again manually. Whereas since I had the screenshot script, I could just run it again and it would take the screenshots, and it wasn't that big of a deal. It was just, the thing that really annoyed me was that it was never an issue for the first 8 months that the app was on the App Store, and there were always screenshots of the album artwork, and then they decide now that it's an issue. And I looked it up, I did like a search on the App Store, and it was like 50-50, I would say, between apps that had album artwork in the screenshots and apps that blurred it.
That's weird.
And it just seems, and this is the second time that Apple rejected my app for something that was already there and had already been approved before. It really annoyed me. It's like really unprofessional of them that they're not enforcing the rules like unilaterally. They're not enforcing them on everyone all the time. And like, I submit an update, and like, obviously this is a free app that I make for fun, but like, to submit it, and it's like a grab bag. It's like, oh boy, what random thing are they gonna come up with this time that's already been there, but that they're gonna decide now that it's a problem? So that just like really, really annoyed me.
I don't get how. See, Apple has all of this stuff to say about how their App Store is like to protect people, and yet they clearly, I mean, they undermine their own argument so much because they say, oh, we need to. You know, we need to have complete control over everything that goes on here, so we make sure that that everything is fair and everyone has the same chance, and so that people don't get scammed. And yet, they enforce everything differently. They do not give everyone the same chance because they give some people special treatment, and there's a lot of scam on there. So I don't frankly see the upside, because all of those are the aspects that Apple says, you know, a privatized app store does, but it doesn't do those things. And you also have all of the downsides of basically having a lockdown ecosystem. So it seems like there's way more downsides, especially as a developer. Like, the fact that you have to go through all of those hurdles for no reason.
Yeah, it just that like the okay, I understand. Like I don't think that any person would reasonably think that I'm like trying to claim the right to the album artwork that is in the screenshots. Like I'm just showing normal use of the app. But you know what? It's fine. If it's an intellectual property issue, then that's fine. I'm more than happy to blur it. You know, it makes the app look a little, that makes the screenshots look a little bit worse because, you know, you're seeing like blurred pictures, but that's fine. I'm fine with that. The problem that I have is that it was not an issue until today, or it wasn't enforced as an issue. And the way that Apple handles it is like, so I submit the app to them for them to look at, and then I get a notification that's like, you know, the metadata for your app was rejected, and then it gives the reason. You know, and it gives this whole thing, you know, the whole like section of their guidelines and whatever. And there's a way to talk to them, but they never respond. Like I wrote a whole message. I was like, this is, you know, I was like, I'm going to fix the issue, but this is like really unprofessional. You need to enforce the rules on everyone all the time or not at all, because, you know, that's how it should work. And they never respond to it. They approved it once I fixed the screenshots, but they never respond to anything. There's like no way to contact them. It's just like very one-sided and frustrating. That's the issue. That's the issue that I have with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to enforce rules that are stupid, right? Everyone has dealt with some sort of a regulation or something that's just irritating, and you're like, this is a stupid rule. It makes no sense. It shouldn't be there.
Mm-hmm.
It's an entirely different thing when the enforcement itself is arbitrary.
Mm-hmm.
It's a stupid rule that's being enforced on a random basis. It makes no sense. And that's one of the reasons why the locked down app store model, I think, is a bad idea. Now, the Mac isn't as bad. I mean, if you want it to be through the Mac app store, which most developers do, frankly, it's a lot easier to get found that way. But you're putting up a lot to get on that platform. And I guess that kind of goes back into the, you know, the cuts that the App Store takes, mm-hmm. the cuts that YouTube takes, the cuts that OnlyFans takes. Every couple of weeks I sort of change my position on revenue splitting, because on the one hand, I think there are definitely arguments to be made. I mean, Apple is 30%, but they cut it to 15% for small developers, right? Up to $1 million or something.
Yeah, I think that's how it works.
And so you don't monetize your app. It's free.
My app's 100% free. No ads, no in-app purchases, no payment.
Has that actually caused any issues? Because obviously with the App Store cuts, like the reason that, you know those like gacha games, like Raid Shadow Legends?
Yeah.
A garbage dog shit game.
Yes.
That no one should ever play. Hopefully that'll stop. The thing is that I just said that right here very publicly, but that will not stop the emails. They'll still try to advertise with me.
I'm sure.
I'm still saying if they offer me 10 grand, I'm going to do the ad, guys. Wait for the period of time before the contract is up and then just go right back to smack talking them. And you guys will just come along for the ride. I'm just putting that out there. But anyway, Apple almost incentivizes them, because when you buy the $100 super mega loot pack RNG totally random thing through Raid Shadow Legends, Apple gets $30. So why would they want them to stop? You accepted the terms and conditions. It followed the rules to the technicality, to whatever degree was put in there. Why would Apple have any reason to stop that? And I don't know. I think the revenue splitting, gosh, it's so difficult, because on the one hand, it's fair. You know, Apple did develop the App Store and all of the products that it runs on. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. That's a lot of work. But on the other hand, the developer did all the work to make the app.
Right.
And if it weren't for the App Store, theoretically could use a different platform. Like if Apple didn't lock down their phone, then people could find a way to get around. Like, you could still make an app without Apple's help.
Right.
The App Store is a distribution platform. The fact that it's locked down doesn't necessarily change what your app would be. Sure, it provides some value, but you could make the argument that, I mean, if there was a second App Store that gave all of its money to developers so everything was 30% cheaper, absolutely people would use that.
Well, okay, the other thing that you have to remember is Apple also developed not only the devices, but also the operating systems and the APIs and frameworks that you're using.
That's a good point.
To build the app.
That is a very good point. Now, I suppose theoretically you could make the same, you know, if you work backwards, you could make the same thing about, you know, Xcode.
Yeah.
You could say, well, you could still make an app without Xcode. But yes, Apple is providing the operating system, the programming tools, and the distribution network. So absolutely, you know, they deserve some money for that. I just have to wonder how much. Personally, I think the App Store thing is a little overblown. I think 15%, honestly 10% would be fine. 20% for, like, you know, big developing companies, right?
Mm-hmm.
That seems reasonable. Apple makes a killing on that. They make a killing on a lot of other stuff. Apple would be fine. Developers would be more fine. However, I honestly, you know, the more I think about it, the more I question Google's revenue split with YouTube specifically.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the deal is with AdSense, like with web embedded ads. I know that they pay very badly, but they're also, you know, the metrics for Google AdSense, or what do they call it? AdWords? What's the web-based one? Do they just, is it all umbrellaed under AdSense now?
I don't know, honestly.
I think it might be. Because I think the AdSense revenue.
AdWords is what shows up like on Google search page.
You're right, yeah. Those can be expensive. Did you know that?
I have no idea, but I'd imagine.
If you want to do an ad for, because basically the way it's kind of interesting. I learned about all of this. You know, I've done SEO, you know, job wise, and I've done I studied marketing, so we talked a lot about this stuff. Apparently, unlike YouTube ads, which tend to be pretty even. The advertising messages on Google searches that show up when you search, like, insurance,
mm-hmm.
those depend on search traffic. Because
right.
if you're going to, there's like two of them. So there's people that bid for it.
Right.
And so it's essentially an auction to get your ad shown. And when it comes to something like insurance quote, things that are searched all the times that lead to direct payments, it costs like $94 per click to advertise on that search trend.
Do they really get their money's worth out of that?
Apparently so.
I guess so.
I mean, I personally like to avoid clicking on the ads, except for sometimes when I'm feeling mean.
Yeah.
Cause the thing is with those AdWords ads is when you click on it, they pay money. It's
yeah.
not like YouTube ads where, you know, there's view metrics. The skip ads, for example, you know, where you get 5 seconds and then you click skip. If you click skip right away, it doesn't count as a view.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically the reason that you see those ads all the time is those first 5 seconds are free. If someone skips it right away, you don't pay for that ad.
Hmm.
But when it plays for a little while, and of course YouTube doesn't release what constitutes, you know, where that point is, but once you reach a certain point, it's an impression and they pay money.
Right.
But realistically, it's a tenth of a cent. On Google, it's dollars for certain searches. And so, like, if you, anything having to do with, like, buying a car, if you look up, I'm sure if I look up auto insurance, let's count how many ads we get. 1, 2, 3, 4 Yeah, so there's four ads here. I'm going to click on who should we charge like $100
Ooh.
Should we charge State Farm, Geico, Allstate?
I don't know that other one. We'll leave them alone.
We'll leave them alone. I mean, Geico versus Allstate versus State Farm. Well, State Farm has J.K. Simmons, so he's nice.
Okay.
We won't charge them. Geico just has a gecko. They don't have feelings.
They are very close to us, though.
Geico headquarters is like really close by.
Yes, we're not gonna be any more specific than that.
All right, we're charging Geico $100 by clicking on this ad.
Ooh, our special quote is waiting for us.
Just for us specifically.
Wow.
By the way, this car in the background is a 2007 Mercedes CLS 550.
Of course, of course.
Obviously. You guys can't even see that. Get pranked. So, yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. But obviously, with something like that, 100% of that revenue goes to Google. There's no revenue sharing with Google searches. So that was $100 that went from Geico's pockets into Noah's pockets.
Yeah, you could
yeah,
say
directly
that.
Into Noah's pocket.
Wait, let me...
Do you have it in there?
Oh, my goodness.
Wow,
yeah.
That was quick.
Yeah,
they pay out very well.
It's the magic.
But when it comes to YouTube, obviously, the content that is responsible for drawing in advertisers gets a cut. Now, Google takes... I mean, they say 45%, but sometimes I'm not so sure, actually. Because sometimes I look at my metrics and I'm like, I don't know. It's weird. So let me pull up my analytics here. I'm not going to share my screen, but we'll talk about this new thing that they started showing pretty recently. They've got a new revenue tab that shows RPM.
Okay.
Now, RPM means, I mean, you've got CPM and RPM. CPM is cost per mille. RPM is revenue per mille. Mille being Latin for 1,000, which is basically, you know, it's just like a simplified fraction for cost per 1,000 views, mm-hmm. which is what advertisers pay. Revenue is how much I actually make.
Right.
So estimated revenue is simply just divided by the total views, and that gives you how many dollars you make per 1,000 views. And the thing that's weird is sometimes Google says they take 45%. Now, we'll discuss whether we think that's fair in a minute. Let me know in the comments here in the chat if you think a 45% take cut is fair. But sometimes the RPM does not equal 55% of the CPM, and it's a little... You know, where's it going is what I want to know.
Interesting.
So right now, my RPM is $5.97. That's pretty low. That's really low. Web video is some of the worst paying in terms of ad rates. Facebook is worse. TikTok is awful.
Well, I'd imagine.
TikTok is like 10 million views is like a couple $100. Oof. Maybe a couple thousand. But on YouTube, even, that would be insanely better. So, see, that's what's weird. My RPM is $5.97. My CPM is $14.10. So my RPM is 42% of my CPM. That's like, what? Isn't that weird? Because theoretically, right, it should be 55%. Where is nearly 60% of the money that advertisers are paying to put on my videos, where is that going?
I don't know, like, at what stage, like, the taxes go into the picture.
Taxes are not included. I have to pay those separately.
So it's not included at all.
Correct.
I don't... I mean, that is... what about, like, YouTube Premium? Where does that...
So,
fit in.
Yeah, there were sort of two things that I'm thinking of. One is YouTube Premium, because obviously they don't see ads. So I believe that does get itemized here. Well, it breaks down. I think I can. Yeah, playback-based CPM.
Oh, it says on which an ad was shown for playback-based.
an RPM. See, that was the other thing that I was thinking of, is how does it factor in when ads aren't shown, when people use ad blockers or sometimes like mid-roll ads. There's I don't know how they do it, but there's a probability generator or something, so it doesn't show it every time.
I think it's like maybe if you've watched a lot of ads in a short period of time, they might give you a little break.
Like some people really load up their videos. They'll have like a 20-minute video with like 15 ads in it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then YouTube's like, no, we're not showing all of these.
Yeah.
Because eventually, I'm sure that there's some algorithm that shows what frequency of ads causes people to just leave. So they get right up to that frequency, just enough where people are like, man, this is annoying, but don't leave.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where the money is. But the question is, so I guess maybe that makes up a little bit of the discrepancy. But I am curious. Let's go through the chat here. Where do you guys think that 50% that a 45% cut is fair? YouTube takes 45%. Because I'm not sure. I don't know. I think it's high. I think it's too high. Now, obviously, same with the App Store, you could say, yeah, they provide the platform. Without YouTube, I wouldn't have any views, obviously.
Right.
I'd have to be a Daily Motion or a Vimeo influencer.
Yeah, good luck.
Or a Facebook influencer, but they're even worse.
Oof.
So, yes, obviously, there's not a lot of other options, right? So it's, you know, market rules would state, if you don't like it, go somewhere else. But there isn't anywhere to go, so deal with it. However, I would personally argue that Apple provides more services for their 30% cut than YouTube provides for their 45% cut. Because Apple, when you make an app for an iPhone, as you've done,
I have.
Apple has provided you the application that you use to develop the app, the computer that you develop the app on, the operating system that you develop the app on, as well as the operating system you develop the app for, the APIs that you're using, and the distribution network. YouTube is just the distribution network. They had nothing to do with any other step in the content process.
All right. Let me play devil's advocate here.
Good.
I'll bet you I'll argue the exact opposite. So for Apple, yes, they do provide all of the things that you're using, the operating system and the frameworks and all that stuff and whatever. I will say, so first of all, you do have to pay money to put stuff on the App Store. So I pay $100 a year to be able to put apps on the App Store. And I have one app on the App Store. It's, you know, the app we were talking about. It's 100% free. There's no ads. There's no in-app purchases. There's no cost, whatever. But I pay $100 a year out of my own pocket to be able to put the app up there. I made the app for myself, but I figured people might want to use it. And, you know, it has decent amount of downloads, so people like it. And it's $100 a year. I'm not complaining about that. But I'm just saying, I do pay money out of my own pocket to be able to do that. And you know, you can argue that by having all of these apps, it makes Apple, you know, an attractive platform for consumers to want to buy. So there's sort of both ways there. I don't know.
Cuz I think that's a good argument in the case of the App Store and with YouTube. Like, a lot of the discussion centers around what opportunity is YouTube and Apple providing you in getting your app out there. But what about the opposite way?
Mm-hmm.
What, like, without the YouTubers, no one would YouTube.
Indeed.
I would say YouTube is wholly reliant on its creators for its existence. Apple is not as reliant on developers. Like, I don't know, I feel like a specific app not being on the platform doesn't have as much of an effect as a specific YouTuber not being on the platform. I guess it would depend on, you know, the scope of what we're talking about. But without the creators, YouTube would have nothing. They would just disappear. Obviously, there's nowhere for us to go, so they don't really have to worry about that. But I don't know. I think 45% is pretty high. And I think the reason that they have to do that is because, I mean, the biggest thing for YouTube is they have a crap ton of servers. Mm-hmm. Think how many. I mean, it seems minor. You know, they're a distribution platform, but they're storing literally petabytes of video data, and you know, their compression algorithms are very advanced. They are providing you with the connections for the advertisers that use it. So it's not like they're not doing anything. It's not like they're just, you know, putting a file on a flash drive and then giving it to you and saying, here you go, here's a video. They're doing stuff. I just don't know if they are 45% of the value that is brought to it. I don't know. I think 30% would be pretty fair.
I see. I don't know about the exact numbers and what percentage would be fair, and obviously you do. But just to continue with my devil's advocate, I'll just say, you know, YouTube will take all of your content, your 4K, 120 FPS, like HDR, whatever video, and they'll host it for free. They'll scale the quality to any quality that they'll support, and they'll seed it all over the world so that when someone loads up your video wherever they are, it'll be at a server that's closer to them, so it'll load faster and they'll get a better experience. YouTube also does a lot more for, I'd say, for discovery than the App Store. The App Store...
Oh, that's true.
Doesn't really... I mean, I guess if you go to, like, the Apps tab or the Games tab, you see a little bit.
But it's like, only the very upper crust.
Yeah, it's the very... And, like, I don't even do that at all. I think it's you know, YouTube does a lot more for discovery. I've discovered a lot of different, you know, channels and things like that. So YouTube, I would say, does a lot for you. And a lot of people, like, a lot of YouTubers... have their like careers, I guess, thanks to YouTube. I feel like
you could say the same for app developers, some of them, but I feel like it's harder
for some of them. But
well, obviously it's harder because you have to know how to develop an app. All I have to do is point a camera at myself.
Well, that's not even what I'm saying. I just feel like, you know, for the app, like the App Store, at least, like, I guess for the App Store, you have, you know, the web is an alternative. It's not, you know, it's not the native experience. It's not going to be as good as having like a native app, but there is, you know, a web alternative. There's obviously Android alternative, desktop alternative, whatever. I don't know. I guess YouTube is just like so big, and it's like the place that people go for like long form, or just like not TikTok length, for like longer video content. I feel like YouTube is just where you go. And I feel like they do provide quite a bit.
Oh, they definitely do. I just think they maybe provide 30% rather than
basically half. Well, that's entirely fair.
Yeah.
I don't know.
One last thing before we move on. Ian points out, this is, I think, the crux of what amuses me. I won't say that, you know, I'm not going to pretend to sit here all butthurt. I'm very happy on YouTube. And I, you know, would I like to make 15% more than I am now just based on a different cut? Absolutely. But I'm not going to stop making videos because I'm whining about it. Ian says, though, it annoys me how much attention is brought to Apple, but none for YouTube taking almost half the revenue. I think that's a great point, especially when, you know, Apple versus Epic has been this whole thing, and people always say, oh, well, what about the Google Play Store? And that's the comparison that's made. But people don't often bring up other sites like even Facebook. I don't even know what Facebook's cut is.
I don't know.
But I remember I think they screwed a couple of people because they got into trouble a while ago. I think they were faking view counts
for a while. Oh, yeah. I think you told me that.
Yeah. I think College Humor got like really screwed by that. I think they like pushed pretty hard on Facebook, and then Facebook was like, oops, we made it up. And then they were like,
oh, oop, man.
Uh-oh. Well, rip. You hate to see it. I'm pretty sure they got a nice big old lawsuit. In fact, speaking of lawsuits, I'm pretty sure this is totally unrelated, but I'm pretty sure that the EU just sued Amazon for like 888 million or something.
For what?
Or 888. Yeah, it must have been million. They, I can't remember what they did. Why don't I bring this up? I didn't even remember what the story was. I'm pretty sure it was like some sort of anti-competitive something or other. I want more of that. Amazon, I don't like Amazon. But I also find it...
You don't like them, but you just place an order with them.
Well, it's a similar thing with YouTube. It's like you can dislike YouTube's cut. You can dislike Amazon's business ethics, but it's hard not to use them.
Well, yeah.
That's the problem.
That's the thing.
Good golly.
It's like if you can get your stuff delivered in 2 days, you know, that's super nice. But then it's the trade-off. It's like you get your stuff delivered in 2 days or less, but then... There's some like shady business practices like going on.
Cartoon bad guy villain practices. Like what? You remember that news story about how they were just like taking stuff off and like throwing it away? Just new inventory?
Yeah, I think I do remember that.
What the heck is that? That sounds like a Toy Story plot, doesn't it? Like they came from the Toy Story and the relatives of the toys back at the factory have been living in this warehouse their whole life. They've made it their home, but then the big bad Jeff Bezos is going to come and throw them out for no reason, and they have to like do a crazy heist to get them out of there. It's literally a Toy Story plot.
Is that like how many? What are they up to now? Like they've done at least three, right? Probably they've done four. So this is Toy Story 5 then.
There's four, but they're all good. That's the thing.
I think the first three, but I never saw the fourth one.
I mean, it's Pixar. Pixar is just the best.
They are good.
Look, we got to look up a list here. I'm curious to know what is everyone's favorite Pixar movie? Subtweet, is there a bad one? That's the challenge. I'm going to read through the list of Pixar films. Luca, that was the most recent. I don't know what order this is in. None, apparently. Cars, there was Soul. Soul was so freaking good. Oh, my God.
That was good. Yeah.
Toy Story, the OG. Up. Fantastic. Turning Red. Oh, that hasn't come out yet. Doesn't count. Coco. Monsters, Inc. Inside Out. The Incredibles. Finding Nemo. WALL-E. Onward. Ratatouille. Brave. Cars 2 and 3, of course. A Bug's Life. Toy Story 2, 3, 4. Float. The Good Dinosaur. Monsters University. Finding Dory. Incredibles 2. I think some of these are shorts.
Yeah,
the shorts are good too. Honestly, yeah. That's like the main ones.
Yeah,
they're all good. They've not made a bad one.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm a little bit behind. I haven't seen. I don't even want to say it because I know that you're gonna be all shocked. Whatever. Like I haven't seen Up before.
Really? I thought you were gonna say you haven't seen Luca, which makes sense because it's recent.
Well, I haven't really seen that one either. But I haven't seen Up. I haven't seen Inside Out. I don't know if I've ever seen The Incredibles. Maybe a long time ago, but I don't remember.
Oh, you must have. It came out in 2004.
Even like Ratatouille. I don't think I've ever seen Ratatouille.
How?
I don't know
how that's physically possible.
I've seen like some of these, but not others.
See, we grew up in the 2000s. These are like, if you just go down the list, Monsters, Inc.
I obviously saw it.
Finding Nemo, The Incredibles, Ratatouille, WALL-E, Cars, Up. That is like the 2000s. Those are like all of the best animated movies from the 2000s. There are even some of the lesser known ones, like I guess you could argue Inside Out or The Good Dinosaur is a little bit of a lesser known one. Brave would even be a little bit lesser known. But they're all so good. I mean, Pixar just is, they're so good at making animated movies that everyone can enjoy. We just watched Soul. It's a kid's movie. It's so good.
It's good.
Beautiful. Their animation, it's unbelievable. I love animated movies these days, honestly. Someone said Cars is the worst. I'm going to be honest. I think that's probably the case. Maybe Cars 2. Cars 2 is sort of a meme.
Interesting.
But I think that's probably the only one. And even that wasn't that bad. It's only bad in comparison to the competition.
Hmm.
I haven't seen... There's one that I haven't seen yet, actually. Which one was it? Oh, I think it's the new one. Whatever the new one that came out this year.
Not Luca?
Oh, Raya? Raya the Magic Dragon? Is that even Pixar?
Oh, I think so. That might not be.
Raya and the Last Dragon. That's what it's called. No, that's a Disney. I got confused because they're on Disney Plus, because Pixar is Disney now. Did you hear? Actually, speaking of Disney, the movie Coco, great movie, right?
I haven't seen it, but I want to.
Wait, how have you not seen Coco? I know, when we watched that together, I like don't, 4 years ago.
I don't think so.
I'm fairly certain that we watched this together.
I want to see it. I really don't think that I've seen it before. I told you you were gonna make fun of me for this. You're gonna freak out about it. I'm not trying to like scare you too much here.
So what Disney did here was they tried to trademark.
Oh.
They tried to trademark the Day of the Dead.
Yeah, I heard about that.
A holiday. They tried to trademark a cultural symbol.
Yeah, I did hear about that.
Oof, talk about a bad taste in your mouth, you know? It's such a good movie, and the people that worked on it are absolutely phenomenal. And then Disney's like, hey guys, what if we tried to trademark the Day of the Dead, a cultural event that has existed for hundreds of years, because we want to sell merchandise for our 2017 film. I mean, they failed. Thank goodness. Isn't that just like, it's cartoonishly stupid.
That just sounds like more like colonizing stuff.
That's literally
what it is.
Oh my gosh. See, we may not have the days of like imperialism, but we have capitalist colonization of holidays now.
Yeah.
This is the level of the playing field that we're on now. Good gosh.
I don't know.
I'm happy that they failed. If they succeeded, it would be like, wow, that's really bad. But the fact that they failed is just like, wow, why did you even try that? Why did you think that who would okay that? Why would anyone be chill with that?
I don't know, man. It's Disney.
This is why they scare me. Oh my. Did you know that you can buy a house, a Disney house?
Oh, did you see like the Curtis Connor video about that? Yeah, I saw that.
You can buy a Disney house and live at Disney World.
Yeah, no, that's weird.
Oh, that's creepy. That is creepy. They have like Mickey Mouse in the railings. Like, can you imagine you're like going to the bathroom and you got Goofy on your ceiling?
Oh boy.
That's weird. That's weird.
I don't know.
Disney scares me. That's a good term for it. It's kind of sad that Disney owns Pixar now. Ugh. And Star Wars. They got all the good stuff. Come on. Save some for the rest of us. Yeah. I was going to buy Pixar.
You were going to buy Pixar?
Mm-hmm.
You got that money lying around?
Yeah, I've got like, I was going to do like a 50 buck down, do like a monthly thing.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, do like a monthly payment.
I'm sure they'd be fine with that.
I'm with Noah. No Disney house, says Linda. I'm with Noah too.
I thought you wanted the Disney house.
They're like $10 million.
Well, if you're gonna buy Pixar, you could just buy a Disney house.
That's true. I'll make them make me a movie that'll buy me a Disney house.
Yeah.
Nice. And then I'll have Goofy on my ceiling. They literally did. They had like Woody from Toy Story was like on the ceiling.
Oh boy.
And like Mickey Mouse. Like they even had like the sink, like you know the pipe that comes out of the sink on like an open vanity. It was like Mickey Mouse ears in the pipe.
Oh boy.
That's too much. I'm pretty sure that should be registered as a Schedule I narcotic. Like to be that addicted to a brand. Oh my gosh, imagine. Could never be me. I say as an Apple fanboy.
Yeah. Would you live in an Apple house? Oh, there's the question. If you could live... Okay, think about this. Apple Park, right? What if they built like a couple little houses in that like lawn area in the middle?
Oh, I hate that. Oh, yeah. I really hate that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Does Tim like wave Does he like wake you up and bring you like some hot cocoa?
Yeah, he comes in there and says, "Good morning."
Oh, there it is. Every single day, like all of the home kit things, they open up.
Uh-huh.
Like it opens up all the blinds.
Yeah.
And then like Tim Cook comes on the ceiling and he says, "Good morning." What a beautiful day.
Yeah.
And every time you make like coffee and it like dings to say that it's done, he just says, "We think you're gonna love it."
Yeah.
And then every night when you go to bed, he says, "What an amazing day."
Yeah.
Oh, no. The Apple House.
Oh, man.
This is the next big thing. Do you think the house has chamfered edges?
I could see it.
It has to.
They would just like every couple years they redesign the house.
Yes.
They just knock it down and build a new one.
Yeah.
And it looks
but
different.
But it's unbelievably similar.
Mm-hmm.
Like they make the windows a little bit taller.
Yeah.
After 5 years they make the windows a little bit taller, but still too small.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 years after that, they make the windows either like big or really big. And then after that, they get even bigger, but there's like a cutout in the top of the window.
Uh-huh.
There's an extra piece of window frame.
Uh-huh. Well, it's interesting because the corners of the rooms used to be rounded, but
yes.
Then they squared them off
They squared them off.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really interesting.
Yeah, it's coincidence.
If you go for the House Pro Max, you get a stainless steel frame.
Yeah.
It's constructed out of stainless steel.
And if you go for the House Mini, it's like one of those like little, it's like a camper van size.
Oh, yes. Oh, and the house can't be repaired.
Oh, says of course, Richard. Of course.
They have to offer you a new one.
Yeah, if you try to repair the house yourself, it voids the warranty.
And also, if you like spill anything, it has liquid damage sensors, and they won't fix anything.
In the sink, there's liquid sensors in the sink.
And the roof is one single piece.
Oh, yes.
And it's polished.
It describes a singular form.
It does. It describes a singular form. Everything in the house is charged with lightning. There are no outlets.
Uh-huh.
It's and it only has one outlet.
Oh, yeah. And it's just a lightning. It's just you put a lightning port in.
Yeah,
it.
it's a lightning port only.
Yeah.
Oh
man.
My goodness.
I don't know.
I don't know. This seems like a good idea actually.
I'm kind of convinced now.
And I feel like they also control the furniture. Like you can choose, to have light or dark furniture.
Mm-hmm.
In of course the House Pro Max, which is the larger house.
Uh huh.
In Apple House, you can have like some fun colors.
Mm.
But in House Pro Max, you only have like each year there's like a new color of furniture that you can get,
mm-hmm.
and it's pretty minor. Like it's
right.
not too
right,
you know
right.
nothing too crazy.
Yeah.
Nothing too ridiculous. And also every single, it's sort of like a tradition at Apple House where you have to open the Mac, you know, like you got to do the, like the Craig thing. You got to be like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Or he's like, oh, wow, it's the same exact design as before. Mm. Oh, wow, we changed only the insides.
And also you can only, all the stuff that you have in the house, you have to buy it from the Apple grocery store or the Apple common, whatever you, what is it called? Like a.
If you plug in. An unsupported pillow. It says, warning, this pillow may not work properly.
Yeah. Yeah, all this stuff has to come from the Apple common. What am I trying to think of? Like the common, like the store that has like all the stuff.
An apothecary?
Sure, yes. All of it has to come from there. It has to be approved by Apple. All the sellers have to pay their cut.
Do you think there's Apple House Plus, a subscription service that adds additional features?
Yes, like electricity. Like more...
I was going to say additional closet space.
Oh.
By default, you get 5 cubic feet of closet space.
Oh, yes.
But you can upgrade to 100.
Monthly, of course.
Monthly, of course. Of course.
But if you, the first upgrade tier, you can't share it with your family. It's
of
only
course
it's only for
only
you.
For you.
But then if you upgrade further, then you can share it with your family.
Oh, and also if you start to use one of the rooms on that same thing, the other rooms like it'll kick you out and it'll say like the other room is already in use. You have to upgrade to a family plan.
Right.
Because you can only have one room that's active.
Right.
And the rooms are synced. So if you upload something in one room, the furniture syncs to the other rooms.
So they're just all the rooms are like the same.
Yeah, and it fills up. Oh my gosh, it fills up your storage space so fast.
That's how they get you.
That's really how they get you. That was a really we really went for it on that bit.
The Apple Man, House.
The Apple House. That's the way to do it. Oh, and by the way, the windows are gonna be like shatterproof, but they crack unbelievably easy. You know, because they'll talk about the new. It's sapphire coated. It has like a crystal display, and then you'll see your friend. You'll be like, "Hey," and it'll shatter. Oh, no. But of course, you have to get House Care Plus.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, without that, it's $99,999.
I was gonna say like nine
to fix the window.
Yeah. No, that's that. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I feel like they're not called windows because that seems a little too easy. I feel like they have to be like view portal XDR.
Oh, of course. Well, they can't be windows, of course. That's a Microsoft trademark.
They would never do that.
Yeah.
They don't even let you mention the word Android in your app. There's no way that they have windows.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. I feel like the stovetop is completely flat.
Mm.
And man, there's so much that I've got in my brain here about this Apple House. I feel like we should probably stop. We've gone on for a while.
I think so. I think we get the idea. We get the thinly veiled
super ceramic shield portal XDR.
That sounds about
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
That sounds Apple right. View. That's a good one.
Very very simple.
In case. That actually is a pretty good name for something.
I feel like that must exist.
Yeah, that does sound like the kind of thing that... I'm going to look that up.
Like a case manufacturer?
Yeah. Oh! No. Incase.com. I'm not going to click on the ad, so I won't pay them.
Oh, yeah. Incase, yeah.
And you know what? It is for MacBook.
Mm.
The Incase is a MacBook sleeve. Look at that. Good name.
Good for them.
They got it. They beat us to it. I was going to start a business called Incase.
Uh-huh.
Except that I would get screwed because this comment predates that, so they'd probably sue me.
Mm.
Damn. We just did a free ad for Incase. I'll invoice them. Don't worry.
Yeah.
We'll pop over the old invoice. That's the invoice sound.
Oh, boy.
I mean, have you ever received an invoice? That's what it sounds like.
Fortunately, I never have.
Oh, I've never paid for something?
No.
Wow. Amazing.
I know.
So we're coming up here on the end of the episode, so I figure we might as well talk about the next couple of weeks.
All right.
Because we've got some changes that are coming up to the podcast, to the channel, to your geographic location. That's to my true. Relative geographic location.
Yeah.
All of which is to say that we're both moving.
That's one way to say it.
It is one way. Not a good way, but it is a way to say that, and that is legally defensible, and I'll see you in court if you want to argue with me on that one.
Okay.
So this week is our second to last podcast episode in this space. It's pretty sad.
That's so sad.
On August 10th, I am moving out of the studio where I've been for most of this year. I'm staying in Washington, D.C. Well, technically, we're not in Washington, D.C. We're like two blocks away from it right now. But regardless, I'm moving within the general area. But Noah, big man on campus, specifically the Google campus...
That's right.
Is moving to California. So our podcast is no longer going to be in person. So we got to get out our pokes.
Oh, boy.
Our pokes and our hits while we still can. For those of you listening along at home, we've just poke and hit each other.
Indeed.
So that will no longer be possible, unfortunately. It'll be e-pokes and e-hits only.
Uh-huh.
I feel like an epoch. That sounds bad. I don't know what that is, but I don't like it.
I don't know.
Sounds like a feature TikTok would have.
I could see that.
Anyway, point is, second to last episode in the space. It's been a fun 7 months that we've been working here. Noah and I have been best buds since eighth grade. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
I'm saying this as though we're like gonna not do, like, we're still gonna do the podcast. It's just you're gonna be far away.
Yeah.
It's gonna be light mode for you.
Yeah, if we're still, it'll be 6 p.m. in my time. Maybe we'll shift. Maybe we'll do it at midnight Eastern.
Or not, that is another option.
No, I don't know.
That's another option, yeah.
It's another option.
So we, I think we should do a special episode from California. I think that would be fun. What if we could, there's no way we could do an episode like in front of Apple Park. That would be too funny.
I mean, if you can stream it.
We would maybe have to pre-record that. I don't know. Maybe we'll see. We'll see what we can do.
I don't know.
We can have like an insert. We can have like a segment that airs in the middle of the episode.
Oh, that would be interesting. We could play around with it.
We'll toy around with that. If you have any ideas for things that we should do in the Bay Area, send us a suggestion at submissions@darkmodepodcast.com. That's submissions@darkmodepodcast.com.
Yep.
We look forward to hearing from you. This program is made possible from listeners like you. Thank you.
That's pretty good.
Look at that. PBS has nothing on me.
I like it.
And it's a parody, legally. I didn't rip off their saying. Don't worry about it. They don't have a trademark on that. Anyway, okay. So, yeah, I'll have some moving tours, of course, of the new area where I'm going to be filming videos. And you don't have to wait long for that because I'm moving, like fully moving, in a week and 2 days.
Yeah.
That's pretty soon. I have to pack.
Yeah, you do.
Oh no. But I also have to like make videos this week. Oh God, I don't know what to do. It's going to be a bit of a busy. My uploads this month are going to be all over the place. There's going to be a lot of, I mean, honestly, of all months to do this, pretty good. Tech drought 2021.
Yeah.
You know, not a ton of stuff for me to try to, you know, if this were like a September thing where I'm trying to move and cover Apple events and review products, I'd probably throw myself off a bridge because that's a lot. That's a lot to do. So I'm happy that, you know, we're sort of doing it in a down month. And if you guys are interested, I'll be posting some stuff. It'll probably not get a lot of views, but I'm sure there's always people that are interested when I do like moving stuff. So I think it'll be fun. So we're gonna have a couple of weeks in there where we're not gonna be synced up here for the podcast for doing live episodes. But we have some ideas for sort of a season two. I think we should call it a season two.
I think so.
Because we're going to have a couple of weekends where, like on the 15th, the 22nd, and the 29th, those three Sundays are going to be weird.
The 15th, I will be here.
Oh, that's right.
The 22nd, probably not going to happen. 29th is
Is a little bit eh.
Yeah.
So we might have those 2 weeks off, and then in September, we'll like launch. Oop, don't worry about it. And then in September, we'll launch season two with that thing that we've been talking about implementing. Hopefully, mm-hmm. If we have, do you have time?
I can make it work.
Yeah, we'll make it work. We've got a cool plan. I think it'll be interesting. So that's the plan for the future of Dark Mode. The current plan, though, for the current of Dark Mode is to end this episode.
Uh-huh.
Did you like that?
That was pretty good. I'll give you that one.
We didn't really talk about tech today, did we?
To be honest, and I, you know, I saw there were some mixed reactions. I think people generally enjoyed this. There's not that much going on to talk about.
That's so true.
Like, what are we, like, what is Apple, or, like, any, like, what's happened recently? Like, Not much.
There's, I mean, Apple news, pretty much nothing. I guess, okay, we got 2 minutes. We got 1 minute left, and that's about as much time as is required for the Apple news that came out recently, which is that apparently Mark Gurman thinks the Mac Pro could be coming by the end of next year.
It's ambitious.
So, I don't know about that, but I do have a video where Ian, who's hanging out in the chat, and I worked on a concept for what the next Mac Pro could be.
Ooh.
So if you haven't seen that, go check that video out. That was a really good segue. I'm proud of that.
That was good.
Definitely didn't ruin it by drawing attention to it after the fact and congratulating myself.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But yeah, honestly, we like to just hang out, and there's no tech news.
Yeah.
The Apple house is more interesting as a hypothetical argument than literally anything that has happened in tech news in the past, like, 7 weeks.
Pretty much.
How about that?
We're getting to the good stuff, but we're not there yet.
Yeah, I'm thinking this fall is going to be fun.
I think so.
We can talk, maybe next week we'll talk about fall expectations.
Yeah.
How about that? Set your expectations for our expectations.
Oh.
Now that was slick.
Questionable.
Well, fair enough. This has been Dark Mode, the podcast that you just listened to. I've been your host, Luke Miani.
And I've been your host, Noah Rubin. Have a good night.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.